freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. We are on 710sports.com. We are on the 710 Sports app. Kyle's here. Boy, howdy's here. Lydia's gallivanting around the United Kingdom.
Lydia's here as a ghost.
You think Lydia will enjoy London more or her trip to the backwoods of Tennessee to watch minor league baseball 2 months ago?
I'm going B.
To watch double A, single A, triple A baseball games.
She went to like short season games for the Tennessee God knows what. What? I love Lydia.
Undoubtedly, she had more fun there.
Undoubtedly. She's keeping score from people that like aren't even going to be in baseball in a month. She's like erasing, like, oh no, it's Fielder's Choice. Oh my God, FC. It's like, Lydia, this guy's never going to be in the show, ever.
He's 19.
She's like going through his life story. Like, oh my God, I love Lydia. But jeez, bless her heart, is absolutely right. All right, so it's just the four of us this morning once again. Jeff Van Gundy's going to join us?
I believe
so. Is that a thing?
Yeah, 28 minutes.
That's something that's going to happen on the show, huh?
I think so.
It's never happened before.
Yep. Well, I sent him text, gave him the time and everything. He said, sure. Then I sent him another text. You want us to call? Here's the call number.
No.
What time? I just gave it to you. So so we shall see. I think he will.
All right. Well, we're expecting Jeff. He's never been on this show before,
has he? No.
Have we ever had anybody like Jeff Van Gundy on this show? I mean, Calabro would probably be the closest.
Probably. He's super honest.
He did the game the other night, right?
He did. He's on the number one crew with Mark Jackson. And I think I have heard through the grapevine that they had a wonderful time and love Seattle. And every NBA guy affiliated with that world seems to love this trip to Seattle.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll get some nuts and bolts from him.
All right. Well, that'll be fun. We'll do that at 7:30 this morning. Let's start here today, Brock.
Timeouts?
I'm not starting on timeouts. I've had enough. I'm exhausted by the timeouts. Howdy's convinced me. Howdy and Pete combined to convince me that Howdy's right.
Oh no!
So I don't want to get. I don't want to.
Thanks, Pete.
I want to start here. I don't want to get fooled. I don't like being fooled. I feel stupid. Oh. Right when you get fooled by something, when you get tricked,
when a baseball team's duped, 11 up in June.
Yeah, I don't like getting duped. As I think I showed a couple of weeks ago in talking about the Mariners.
That's why you hate the FPI. That's why you hate the computer percentages. That's why you hate your odds of winning these games. Don't tell me that. The Mariners have a 99.9% chance of making the playoffs when they were 11 games up in late June.
Well, and
don't
even worse in a game. Like, oh, the percentage of them winning right now is 74%. Who cares? So what? That's ridiculous. I hate that stuff.
You don't like getting duped.
This is the greatest comeback according to the win probability. The win probability.
This is really a silver watch that I'm selling you on the sidewalk here.
Seriously.
You're silver.
You're like the Bird and Wildcats, man. Who needs a Casio? I got fresh Walkmans.
I don't like getting fooled.
We can't get fooled again.
That's right, George.
That's right.
You hate getting
Thanks,
duped.
Thanks, Dubs. I don't want to get fooled by one home game, but my expectations for the Seahawks are shifting, Brock. They are. And I feel like even though they've had a rough start, they're 2-3, that they are truly capable of more. And my win projection total, which was probably around 7 or 8 games to start, is now higher than that. And I think they could win 9 or 10 games, even though they're only 2-3. I honestly do. I know that winning 10 means they've got to go 8-3 the rest of the way. But they just seem to be developing a trust with each other and a personality over the last couple of weeks. And I don't know, losing Earl Thomas and cleaning out some of the detritus. I see a team that is moving in the right direction all of a sudden.
8-3?
Am I just fooled by what I saw?
Mike, come on now.
Am I just fooled?
Mike, come on now.
Am I being ridiculous?
That's pretty ridiculous.
Is it?
8-3 is pretty ridiculous.
Is it?
Yes, I think it is.
So you don't think they can win 10 games?
No, I don't think they're going to go 8-3.
7-4 is not ridiculous. 7-4? Dude, anybody can go 7-4 in the NFL. 7-4? When you're running the ball the way they did on Sunday? Come on, anybody can go 7-4.
How's the NFC looking right now? How many teams right now are pacing to go 7-4 in the first 11?
Like two.
Yeah.
Brock, the NFC's bad. There's only four teams with a winning record, and they're moving the ball. They're doing what they want to do.
Able to run the football as well as we've ever run the football, and physical was there. You know, we were knocking them off the ball, and the guys were running hard. Chris really, and Mike too, really just brought a bunch of attitude with their style, and it just adds to the whole flavor of what we're putting together. And you can see how we're putting it, you know, building it, and where it's going.
I don't think there's any
disagreement fooled?
With that. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think they're going to win 8 of 11 games.
I said they might. I think they can win 7 of 11.
You got the Packers and the Panthers and the Rams and, you know, the AFC West. Well,
all those teams are like 2-2.
Yeah, the Chargers and Kansas City.
Yeah, those teams are good. You're actually looking at the matchups.
I'm not looking at them.
I don't actually look at the schedule or the matchups.
I just go by feel.
I go by feel.
Closes his eyes.
Yeah.
And he dreams. He lets his mind wander.
The text messages here say the probability of Salk saying something intelligent is about 27.9%. I think that might be a little high, but all right, fine. Maybe I'm crazy because of this. You're right. They do have to play the Rams. They do have to play some good teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to play Carol, right? I mean, they got to play some good teams.
And, you know, just in this NFL, you see how hard it is to win games for just about anybody.
But they're going to be at home a lot down the stretch. They get a lot of their road games out of the way early in this season, including this one coming up this weekend in London, which sort of screws up their away advantage or home advantage. And so, like, I don't know, man. If they keep running the ball like that, if they keep playing the types of games that they played this weekend, I do think they're going to win a whole lot of games.
I don't know if my expectations have wholly changed and all of a sudden they're a 10-win team. I think they're still, as we said earlier, between 6 and 10 coming into the season. And, yeah, after a game, even a loss like that, you kind of lean, you know, maybe a little more 8-9-7 for me than, you know, the 6-10.
All right, fine. So if they go 7-4, the problem is, bro, the thing holding me back from all this, just the pass rush.
Exactly.
Everything else looks fine. Honestly, the rest of this team looks totally fine.
Well, that would be my question for you. What would make you feel better as you
if they could rush the passer?
Would you feel better if they could rush the passer and play defense? Or do you feel better that in 3 weeks they've gone back-to-back-to-back with 100-yard rushers and 190 on that Rams crew?
The only thing that is keeping me from thinking this is a really good team moving forward is the pass rush. Honestly, like, I think they stopped the run decently well. They're playing the pass well in the secondary. They hit. I know they didn't tackle great this past weekend, but in general, I'm not that worried about the tackling of their secondary.
Yep.
They're going to get KJ Wright back. We haven't really even seen Russell Wilson do everything Russell Wilson can do. He hasn't gone on that Russell streak where he just starts winning games and throwing the ball all over the place. They're running the ball better and better. Their offensive line is coming together. Short of injuries, which I know can derail any conversation, the only real major problem I have when I look at this team is the pass rush, which is bad.
Yes.
It's a bad pass rush.
Yeah, we said going into the season, when we were sitting there at training camp, what was their thinnest position? What is the area? And there was no Frank Clark through much training camp and no Deion Jordan through the entirety of training camp. And we looked out there and went, yeah, that's not, you know, as far as 32 teams in the league, you're in the bottom five. You know, as far as your D-line.
They are. But if they can keep the ball and move it on the ground and physically beat up other teams, that's a recipe for success long-term in the NFL.
That's something that's important to us. It's important to the makeup of the team. And you see our guys light up and jump up and being, you know, be affected by his nature. So, and then Mike's got this suddenness to him, you know, and he's creative and he's going for it. You know, he ain't holding nothing back. So they just the 1-2 of those guys, and then we haven't got Rashad in the mix yet. Well, he gets going, you know. So we're in a pretty good spot right now. We're just getting going.
Well, I don't think there's any question, Mike, as far as the formula goes and the way that Pete wants to play. What they did offensively in that game against the Rams, what they have done now to build over 3 weeks and get better and better and better as they have committed to that running style will pay enormous dividends. But when you're playing the likes of Phillip Rivers and you're playing Mahomes and you're playing Cam Newton and you're playing quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers, you're playing those guys, if you can't affect them on that side of the ball, life gets miserable defensively. Miserable. And, you know, that was – the Rams punted one time. Put him one time in that game.
That's
right?
Not great.
He had 306 yards of total offense on first down alone.
Suboptimal.
Yeah. So your ability,
and yet they're about to win the game. I mean, and yet Brock, they're a bad holding call, a bad pass interference call, and a weird timeout call away from winning. Yeah, all right. They didn't play perfectly. You're right. Yep. It wasn't the perfect game for them on defense, but they came up with a pick in the red zone.
Yep.
They came up with another stop in the red zone when they needed to. And they would have had a third were it not for what I think is a chintzy PI call on Shaquille Griffin.
And that is why you run the football. Shortens games is going to put you in a position, I think, over the course of the season, Mike, to have a lot of these conversations. And you know what? Going in, that was not the expectation of most around the country. They thought this team was rebuilding. They thought this team was done. They thought this team would not be able to compete in through 5 weeks.
They're competing.
I think they've shown a very different message.
Need to know the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Short week for the Seahawks, who will leave for London tomorrow. Probably the best news to come out of the conversation with Pete Carroll yesterday is that there were no injuries to report at all coming out of that game. No new injuries for the Seahawks. So we'll see if they can get themselves healthy. Obviously, KJ Wright is the big name you're looking at. And quite frankly, I'd like to see Deion Jordan back. He played in only a couple of snaps in this past game. And for a team that has no pass rush, he's their best hope other than Frank Clark is getting those two guys opposite each other and finding a way to put a little pressure on an opposing quarterback. Deion Jordan is the world's most perfect looking football player. He just needs to actually be out on the field and healthy enough to use his skills and talents.
Yeah.
I really would like to see that start this week in London. So KJ Wright, I don't know. I'm not banking on him being back, but I still think you should be able to go to London and beat what seems to be a bad Raiders.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an odd week here. A couple weeks, the Seahawks will have a bye after this one, so the players will be out and get plenty of time off. And both teams are in this together. You know, Pete Carroll talking about that yesterday when you asked him about playing Marshawn. He's like, well, you know what? Both these teams on the West Coast, there's no excuse for any of us. Both are heading out on Wednesday. It is a long trip. It's long travel. It kind of changes the whole dynamic of this week and press conferences and practice time. But they're all in it together. And as far as those injuries go, what a statement of being the hitter instead of the hitty. And over the last couple of years, you've been the hitty. Your team has been banged up, has been injured, has been missing guys throughout. And not in that game Sunday, man. You knocked two guys out of that game. Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp that'll have to battle back from concussions. You came out as healthy as you ever have. And really the only question mark will be KJ over the course of the week.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
I hear a lot of nervous Husky fans. A lot of nervous Husky fans that I've talked to over the last couple of days. Brock sounds nervous. Danny sounded nervous yesterday on Danny, Dave, and Moore. Number 7 Huskies are headed to Oregon for a 12:30 game against the number 17 Ducks. And they're favored by 3, and yet if you talk to Husky fans, or at least the ones I've talked to, there's a lot of nervousness about this week. I think that's a good thing. I think that means that you got a UW team that has taken this game very seriously. They know this is probably the toughest game they have left on their schedule on the road against Oregon. They can find a way to win this one. They set themselves up, I think, really nicely to go to a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I think if you were to look at rivalries west of the Mason-Dixon line, as far as just teams and battles and environment, is it Dixie or Dixon?
Well, it's just that line goes east-west. I don't know how you get west of it. That's a line that separates north from south.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to go like west of the Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi, maybe. The Continental Divide.
West of the Rockies.
Let's go west. Well, the Big 12's got some hated rivals.
We'll probably go
west of the Rockies.
Okay.
There's no question. As far as vitriol and pure hatred for one another, it is this rivalry Saturday. These Ducks fans hate the Huskies, and the Husky fans hate the Duck fans. As far as pure, your old-fashioned sports hatred, Mike, that maybe even spills over into the other hatreds, and I know why. It's because these two have never been really good together. It's either been an incredible long run of decades and decades where the Huskies stomped them, or it was a couple-decade run there where Oregon stomped Washington. And now, is this going to be the first time in some time, maybe forever, that these two can actually be good together? That's what you get Saturday. You get the best matchup you're going to see in the Pac-12 all season long, and there's going to be a tremendous amount of emotion. And I was frankly surprised to see the Huskies 3-point favorites heading to Eugene.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
So good news yesterday. Todd Lywicki, who will be the president of Seattle Hockey Partners, on with Danny, Dave, and Moore, formally announcing a 3-rink practice facility to be located on the site where the Northgate Mall is. He also told Danny, Dave, and Moore they expect to announce the name of this team in the spring. So everybody can just calm down. We're going to get a name in the spring. And what I thought was great news, we'll play this coming up in a little bit, in talking about a color scheme, said, well, the traditional sort of Northwest blue and green combo is already being used in Vancouver. So hopefully it means they're going to go somewhere else. I recommend Black and White.
Mm. Any of you surprised at all by the news yesterday at Todd Lewicki? Connecting with the community, wanting to really spread its roots, really take the next level and go extra and beyond and above and beyond anything I think anyone imagined, not just building a rink for themselves. No, we gotta make hockey and have a hockey central and a hockey hub, and ice time is so hard for any young hockey player. So we're just going to build 3 rinks, and we're going to make it world-class, and we're going to connect with this community. Exactly why Todd Lewicki's been the best at his seat in his job over decades and decades in multiple sports.
All right, there you go. That's 3 things you need to know. You know where the Mason-Dixon line actually separates?
Hmm.
So people think the Mason-Dixon line is the metaphorical difference between North and South.
Yeah, what is it?
The Mason-Dixon line itself was surveyed. It's the southern border only of Pennsylvania.
Really?
So it separates Pennsylvania from Maryland and West Virginia.
Oh,
and it separates Delaware from Maryland and Virginia as well.
That's goofy. That's
some people trying to rename it the Waffle House IHOP line.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a big one. Or as Robin Williams said, that Manson-Nixon line. Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. You ready for London?
Getting there.
When do you fly out?
Thursday after the show.
You've been to London?
Never been to London. The last time I was overseas was, I think, 1990.
So it's been a bit.
Yeah, when I went to Japan for a Denver-Seattle game.
Wow. Right. Do you have a passport?
I do have a passport.
Okay. How are you preparing for this, JC?
Not well.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out all these little tricks in that. So, like, for example, one of the things that they said is
tricks.
That you need to make sure that your credit card has a little new little thing. And so what I did, I had to put the little adjustment in my credit card, and then I get a notice from Uber, and it puts the credit card phone number in there. So it's like all these little things.
Why is Uber controlling your credit cards?
What's that?
What? Why is Uber controlling?
No, because what I did, I had to do a account setup thing and put a new passcode in there. And so.
And now you're getting messages from Uber.
Yeah, I got a message from Uber.
Right. Well, that's bizarre.
Yeah,
do you even take
it.
Uber?
Yeah. What's that?
Do you even take Uber?
Well, I take Uber.
Oh,
I'm hoping to have it over there.
All right. Oh.
Are you looking forward to seeing like a lot of the landmarks? You're going to travel around and see
Not
everything?
Really. No. I want to sleep. I mean, let's put it this way. I'm going to be up pretty much like 2 days flying because I'm going to be flying from down to Houston.
Will you eat the fish and chips and stuff? Like, is there anything you're excited to
eat? I might do that.
Okay.
I have to eat.
Are you going to be reunited with Marshawn Lynch? You guys have a great relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to you and Marshawn
together. Oh, yeah. We're going to hang, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is he setting up like a Beast Mode pop-up store there, or what's going to happen?
Pretty much. I would think so, yeah. I mean, it just don't hand on, just if you hand him the ball at the 1 yard line, you get a chance to get a free jersey.
Right.
He didn't get that on Sunday.
You get a free DJ Fluker jersey. Brock says he's going to get me one, but
oh really?
So far, I haven't seen.
You can
it.
Fit the two of you in that.
Hey, Kyle Brown, our esteemed producer of the show, who you talk to every morning before we jump on together, is like obsessed with where Rashad Penny's going. He's like the only thing he emails us about for 2 straight to 3 straight days has just been the disappearance
10
of
Rashad Penny bullet points.
It's shocking. He
John,
put it in every part of the show.
The two backs are doing better. Pretty simple. I mean, Mike Davis is doing great. I mean, you see Chris Carson. I mean, they've had 300-yard games in the last 3 weeks combined. And so Rashad Penny's the third back. I mean, you see him out there on kickoffs and all those.
John,
things.
He's their first-round pick.
So?
He's their third running back?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Performance.
That's a failure.
It's not a failure. They ran for 190 yards.
That's right, Kyle.
That's
but how many did Rashad Penny run
That's
for?
Almost the same thing as people complaining about Russell Wilson not getting any carries.
Yeah,
right.
Kyle.
It's like the running game is working.
I'm worried about him, too.
What's that?
I'm worried about Russell, too.
Okay. Good for you.
Trouble's afoot, John.
There's no trouble. They ran for 190 yards.
Do you see what we're up against every morning, John?
Yeah,
this is what we deal
this
with.
Is what we deal with.
The youth of today.
In the meantime, why is the NFC so bad? There are only 4 teams in the NFC with a record above 500.
It's amazing. Well, first off, I mean, AFC teams, I think, were 11-8 in interconference play against the NFC, which you never thought was going to happen because it was so one-sided last year. And I think what's happening is that you can see that a lot of the defenses in the NFC can't handle the quarterbacks. And so what you're seeing is Atlanta at 1-4. I mean, Washington just got destroyed last night. I think what it comes down to is that the NFC with 14, you know, they had 14 of the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFC. So I figured there was going to be a lot more losses for a lot of the NFC teams because, again, you go against a good quarterback every week, and now Mitch Trubisky comes out and has a 6-touchdown game. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I think there's a balance. I mean, right now, once you get past the Rams and the Chiefs, who do you really put in there as the next best teams?
Yeah, every team's got a bit of a flaw or two. And now Jay Ajayi tears his ACL in Philly. So how about this? How about a CJ Pro size for Michael Bennett trade?
It would be a CJ Pro size for maybe a 6th-round pick. That'd be about it.
What do you think? What do you think?
No.
Not moving, even with the Ajayi injury.
No, because I think they moved on from that. So, okay. But no, I think that there's no doubt that the Eagles have to make some kind of a trade. I mean, you notice Fletcher Cox restructured his contract last week, and so they have a little bit of room. Some people think that's trying to make a Le'Veon Bell trade, but I don't see that happening. But they're in bad shape at the running back position. They're in bad shape overall. I mean, they're 2-3. They're scoring 21 points a game. Carson Wentz said that they look like a bunch of rookies out there, and so it's not a good
start. The great veteran Carson Wentz said that because he's been in the league for so long. Mm-hmm. He's played like 7 games in the league.
I know.
Well, who's he to talk?
At least he's right. They're making too many mistakes.
Well, sure, but I mean, who are you? You played in like 7 games. What do you know about?
For 2 years. Huh? He started as a rookie.
He watched Nick Foles win a Super Bowl with his team, and now he's come back and they don't look very good. I don't know if I'm in a great position to be saying much.
Well, Foles didn't look good the first couple games. I was joking about the Bennett deal, but in all seriousness, is there any way? I think the one flaw most representative here with the Seahawks this season is pass rush. Is there any way anybody on the street, via trade, anything, where you can add some legitimacy to your pass rush?
I think they have to. I agree. I think that's the one element that is missing because, you know, other than Frank Clark and even occasionally Barkevious Mingo, they're not getting enough pass rush. I mean, they only had 3 pressures, I think, or 3 quarterback hurries on Sunday against Jared Goff. Now, a lot of that's because of how quickly Goff gets rid of the ball, but they need to find ways to get a quicker pass rush. So, I think that they have to be in the lookout for that.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton,
yes.
If you were going to run a zoo, what would be the best attraction that would separate your zoo from the other zoos?
First off, I think I would have maybe some... some good monkeys that are able to, and I'm talking about just really smart monkeys. They'll have a little database section. I mean, they'll be over there in the quiz. You'll see them. They're going to be, punching in numbers and stuff like that. I think that'll be one that would be good.
You think actual monkeys are just a member of the ape family? Like, chimpanzee, orangutan?
I mean, maybe some chimps and stuff like that.
Okay. I think bonobos, perhaps.
Yeah.
Would it be kind of like those E-Trade commercials, and you give them people clothes they can dress up in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you watch a lot of the monkeys, and they follow a lot of the patterns of what humans do and all that stuff.
That would definitely separate your zoo, I would say.
I mean, it won't be the biggest attraction.
I'll tell you what I would do.
Yeah.
I would have a miniature world. I'd set it up like Disney World, like Tomorrowland. I'd have and I would just have pygmies. Pygmy donkeys, pygmy, all sorts of just miniature animals.
Like, you also get like pygmy wolves to attack the pygmy donkeys?
Sure,
and stuff?
Whatever you want to do.
Wow.
But I would find it.
Pygmy tigers?
Yes. Hey, yes.
John, shame on us. Just real quicker, because we didn't ask about him. How about Drew Brees? Is Drew Brees one of the, where is he going to be on the all-time great list when it's all said and done?
He's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, I know that.
No question about that. But, he'll have to go down maybe as one of the top 15.
Better than Peyton?
What's that?
Can we just say he's better than Peyton?
No, I can't say that.
He is.
Well, he has more yardage than Peyton.
Right. He's about to have more touchdowns than Peyton.
Right.
He's basically has the same number of Super Bowls. I know Peyton sort of stole that other one at the end.
But again, one thing about him, and as great as he is,
he didn't do as many
Papa
John's ads.
He couldn't overcome a bad defense and had 3-7-9 seasons.
That's right. Peyton, 10, 12 win seasons in a row? I think a little different.
Yeah. I mean, when you see Peyton Manning, it's kind of like Brady. They consistently win 11-12
games. I'll take Drew Brees.
Hey, by the way, quick question for you. You and Kyle were talking earlier. Is it John Baker? Is that the guy that wears the white gloves? What's his name, Kyle?
David Baker. Yeah.
Is he a good dude?
Very good.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Really.
John's going to say something
just
bad
ask
about
him.
David Baker?
No, he's really a good guy.
Kyle doesn't think so. Kyle's anti-Baker.
Really? I just think he's a little self-centered, John.
He thinks that the whole...
Like, was the Michael Jackson gloves on the field really necessary last night? I don't know.
Well, at least it was clean. You know that.
There you go. Goodbye, John. Bye. We'll talk to you later. Good luck with Uber and your credit cards and everything else. Apparently, we're going to talk to Jeff Van Gundy. That's going to happen next. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Saul.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle. I'll get back to some of the football conversation in 15 minutes. Coors Light's Blue 42. But after Friday night was such a smashing success at Key Arena, right before they smashed that building bits, we're going to talk to Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, who joins us right now. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing fine, guys. How are you?
We're great. How was your trip to Seattle last week?
It's always good. I got family out in Snoqualmie, so I went out there and saw that beautiful place. And then the game itself was what you expect from Seattle basketball fans, which is an overwhelming response. You know, they'd be a top 10 NBA city the moment they got brought another franchise.
Top 10 from a fan stand base or a fan, you know, standpoint or a history?
Yeah,
or
exactly. Well, it's all of it. You know, it's they've got great fan base. You know, you got a great city. The location is unique of the arena, you know, right in the middle of the neighborhood. I've always loved the building. I don't know if it makes money or not. You know, I don't know if that was just a lie to be able to – you know, get more money from Oklahoma City or not. But I think all of it makes it a fantastic basketball town. And they've had great teams. They have great history. So I think there's so many teams or so many cities that don't support. You know, just look at the top bottom 10 of attendance figures in the NBA. And you can figure out really quickly which would be better served having a franchise in Seattle.
You think that's part of the reason KD wanted this game? I mean, it wasn't as if he was here, Jeff, for 5 years, and Jeff Van Gundy with us. I mean, it was just a season. He was obviously a top pick for them. But do you think that attachment and knowing, as you know, obviously, and KD has learned in his decade in basketball how unique Seattle was, you think that's why he wanted this game here played in October?
That's interesting. I'm not really sure the reason, but even his year there, where the fans knew they were gone, you know, there was good support. Actually, was that, I think they had a New Year's Eve game, and I was out in Seattle, and I came to the game. And, you know, even for a team that they knew was gone, the support was still magnificent. And I think Durant has great appreciation, the longer his career is, for how good his rookie year was and how different it could have been in some other situations. And so I do think he has a great level of appreciation for just how good he had it during his 1 year there.
Have you seen some of the plans for the building they're going to be building here over the next couple of years?
I have not. I think they're getting hockey, what, in a year and a half or so?
Yeah.
And that'll be great. But I have not seen the plans for the building.
What do you think is the appetite for these NBA owners to either expand and cut their checks 32 ways, or may take another franchise from another city, as unfortunately we went through? Do you think there's any appetite for that?
Well, I think there's you know, the answer is always money, right? So I don't know what the question is, but the answer is always money. And so for the owners themselves, I think they would have to be enticed to cut their checks, you know, 32 ways, and they'd have to see the overall benefit from that. I think the better chance is relocation. You know, they were close with Sacramento. Sacramento, it continues to be a non-playoff team, but they have shown when they've won that they support their team. I don't think they have a chance of relocating. But if you just look at so many of the teams who perpetually don't draw, I just don't understand for the life of me why the NBA, when it has a vibrant, proven city like Seattle, why they wouldn't have more urgency to get a team back there. What? It just seems like they've been slow walked this whole time. And I just don't think it's right.
Well, I think I would answer that, Jeff, as we've been kind of close to it here for a long time, or the last decade, in a lot of conversations. and a lot of airtime on this station and everywhere else. I think it's because of the political mess. I think they would say, the NBA would say, you know, we're not going to do that. Howard wanted to build a building. He didn't get it. He got stabbed in the back. The city, the mayor, they did. The council said, oh, the benefit is. I think it's just because of some of the wonkiness in the past of the politics. And I hope with what Todd Lewicki and the NHL have just showed with private investment and what you're willing to do, that, you know, a owner that really wants it in private money can really be the catalyst that, you know, in my opinion, that is kind of with this political wonkiness is kept the NBA away.
Well, and I think you state something right. I mean, I'm not living it like you guys live it every day, but you really don't want to keep a franchise there if you're not willing to put your money up for, if you're asking for public money for new arenas. I mean, you know, you, as an owner, you have an obligation to me to use your money in the best interest of the city, and asking them to pay the freight for an arena is not right. But that all being said, I don't know what the next team is going to be there, but I tell you, it was always a top flight NBA city. And I just don't think the NBA is maximizing ultimately what it can without having Seattle having an NBA team. I don't care if it's expansion or relocation, as painful as that may be to some. But it's too good of NBA city to leave dormant.
Hey, Jeff, how is the league different under Adam Silver than it was under David Stern?
Well, I think everybody has more say in the, you know, he's a more inclusive commissioner, which I think in some ways is very good. I think in other ways, he has to make sure that he holds a tight rein on some of these parties who I think, try to bully their way to satisfaction. So I think that's the number one thing. I think the game has changed a lot rules wise. I think the schedule continues to evolve in that, you know, cutting back on back to back games. I think, the Commissioner Silver definitely has a player's bent on this type of thing rather than an owner's bent, which I think, you know, David Stern always had. So I think there's some big ways it's changed, and I think there's some subtle ways, but I think the overall thing is the player's opinion matters a lot more now under Commissioner Silver than it did to, you know, David Stern.
That's great stuff, Jeff. I really appreciate it, Mike does. We appreciate you jumping on with us. And you're holding out to be the next coach in Seattle, from what I understand, right? You're not taking another job until this comes back and you can be the coach.
Well, I'll tell you this. If anybody who could get a job in Seattle would limit their other opportunities just to have that chance. I mean, think about that place. It's just, you know, it just reminded me. Sometimes you can forget, you know, you've been gone from a place so long. To have that ability to go back for a preseason game and have it feel like a playoff game in so many other cities makes you remember what you're missing. And so, yeah, believe me, whenever you get an NBA team, you'll have like an avalanche of people trying to be their next coach.
That's going to be the.
I appreciate it, guys.
That's going to be the closest to an NBA playoff game that the Sacramento Kings are going to be for quite some time. So I appreciate you saying that for their sake, because they got a little ways to go, I think, there, Jeff. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're at 12 years running, and there's absolutely nothing that will prevent you from thinking 12 will turn into 16, 17, 18.
poor guys.
And it's. And remember how good a basketball, when they had it rolling with Weber and Divac and those guys, how good a basketball city it was. Yeah. So, anyway.
Jeff, we appreciate it, man. Thanks. Take care. We appreciate it. There's Jeff Van Gundy. He joins us there on the Venue Kings hotline.
Wow. Dude, you and him going to head to the casino when he's in town next.
I'm in.
Seriously.
Staying at Snoqualmie? Let's go. We'll be at Snoqualmie. We'll go over to the casino, play a little Pie Gow.
We'll make it happen.
Play a few minutes of blackjack. Awesome. And before all of that, we'll go play Snoqualmie Ridge.
Yeah.
I could spend the day with Jeff Van Gundy.
And end the night watching some late NBA games. It'd be great.
He seems like an interesting dude, doesn't he?
He is a good... So, he's a terrific dude. And in fact, the guy that works in our booth as a spotter works on that crew and has for years and raves about him.
Yeah.
Just honest and open and super giving and yeah, just a terrific guy.
And I hope you're proud of me. All of the problems I have with the NBA, I didn't mention any of them. Look at the bottom 10 cities in attendance in the NBA. You mean the cities that year after year after year after year after year after year have no shot, none, zero, zip, zilch of sniffing the playoffs or a championship?
Correct.
Yes, I can understand why that nobody goes to those games because the league has abandoned them.
Yep.
The league just uses them as a way to send Kevin Durant on tour. Stop. Those teams don't have a shot. They don't have a prayer. Anyway.
Thanks for keeping all that in.
I just eventually, Brian, sure. It's going to come out. Yes. I might as well be now instead of later. Yeah. All right, coming up next, is it possible for Oregon and UW to both be on top of the North at the same time for years to come? Brock's got the answer next. Coors Light's Blue 42. It's coming up. I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, a couple of text messages here. Say what you want about Sacramento, but they're closer than the Sonics are to making the playoffs. I disagree.
I don't know about that.
If I had to take that bet, I might bet that you get a team in Seattle in the playoffs before the Kings. They're awful. They're terrible, and they make bad decisions every year. We're going to talk to Carmichael Dave, our buddy down in Sacramento, on Thursday.
Oh.
If you want a question about the Kings and how bad they are, first of all, follow him on Twitter.
Is this a little simulcast?
Yeah, we're going to do simulcast.
Wow.
Remember we started saying we can do this a bunch of times. We can do it with Carmichael Dave, who's on our sister station in Sacramento, for both Oakland and then both San Francisco games. So that's three.
We did with our guys in Phoenix.
Now, are they going to do it with us again?
I'm not sure.
I think that was our last one with them.
Probably you think they not. Won't do it with us again?
I don't know.
There's now some bitterness.
Denver, Arizona, the Bay Area.
They're not happy with
Raiders and Niners.
Let's just be clear. They're not happy with Brock. It's not me.
Yeah, whatever.
What? Hold on. It's
first
true.
First question, let's go.
Are they mad at me or you?
Oh, me, totally.
Let's be clear, Kyle.
Yeah, even Gambo's not even mad at Salk. He's
Gambo
mad
and
at
I
Brock.
Are like best friends now.
You are buddies.
Yeah, we're kind of buddies now. We've kind of turned that corner.
You're going to go hang out with him up on his farm.
In hopes that their team stays. The sun, the moon, the truth, and Salk's anger for basketball will always come out. It's true. And then people asking whether the NBA and NHL can work in the same arena. Yes, of course it can.
Yes,
it does in Boston. It does in D.C. Of course it can.
In Brooklyn.
Not even a little bit of a problem. All right. Question number one, Coors Light's Blue 42, Brock. Is it possible for Oregon and UW to both be on top of the North here for years to come?
History tells you no. How about these numbers that came from a friend of mine over at the UW? This is the 111th all-time meeting between the Ducks and the Huskies. But it's only the sixth time when both teams are ranked. Sixth time out of 111 where both teams are ranked. And just the fifth time that both have been in the top 20. So it's top 20 teams. They've played at, how many times? Five times in 111 years. Now, part of that, as I mentioned earlier in Need to Know, is that for decades, Oregon was really down and Washington was way up. And then that really did turn in the 90s and 2000s as Nike exploded and Washington, after probation and Don James years and everything else, Neuheisel took a step back. And now you've got these two, I think, very formidable foes. And I think the reason history has shown that is just the amount of resources, the amount of big-time talent in the Pacific Northwest stretching into Hawaii, Alaska, and everywhere else is just not enough to support two powerhouse programs. I think there's a legitimacy and a legitimate conversation. And oh, by the way, the team that I've got Friday night, Utah, 42 of their players are of Polynesian descent. So you don't just have Washington and Oregon that are going to invade, the Hawaiian Islands and Samoa and the Polynesian. No, BYU does. Utah does. Every program seemingly has a coach that has an attachment to that area as well because they know they need to mine those resources.
So is it possible?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it is possible.
Question number two.
If you don't learn from history...
He's doomed to repeat it. Pete Carroll says he sent in 18 plays to the league office, as always.
I'm sending them probably 18 plays that they can look at their guys, you know, during the course of the game. My point was that, you know, it happens all day long, then how come right then, you know, and why would that be the time? Because Fluke had his hands inside really nice, and he's grabbing on the breastplate, you know.
That's Pete talking about the DJ Fluker call, which I agree with him is a horrible call. Horrible is what I wanted to say there. A horrible call.
I got you. I've heard you.
And why is he sending 18 plays to the league office about that?
18 penalties.
Seems like a lot.
This would be my guess. As much as the Rams want to dominate the edges in fly sweeps and boots and play action, and as Coach said to us yesterday, that when you boil it all down, they're actually pretty simple. Right? They start in a lot of compact formations, they explode out, and they own the edges of things. But those offensive tackles, and watch this over the course of the coming weeks, and we'll see whether or not those 18 penalties that Coach thinks should have been called are going to be called a little bit more. That they're pretty darn savvy. The two veteran tackles, and in particular Whitworth at left tackle, do a pretty phenomenal job with their hands of the hand that's exposed to everybody being on the chest plate, and the other one, bear hugging and turning and twisting and holding and taking advantage of those opportunities. So that would be my hunch of where many of those penalties were at the line of scrimmage with a couple tackles and edge people that have got this thing figured out and pretty wired in and certainly taken advantage of it from the Rams standpoint.
All right, question number three. We're going to talk some Drew Brees here in a few minutes. But what has set him apart, Brock, from everyone? And could Russell be Drew Brees?
Yeah, I don't think his athleticism gets talked about near enough. He was a tremendous high school athlete. I mean, a tremendous high school athlete. The Joe Tiller up there at Purdue said, you know what? I'm going to change the program here, and we're going to throw it, and we're going to spread it, and we're going to do things in this stodgy old Big Ten that nobody else has done. And I need the fire starter, man. I need the kid to do it. And he's out of Texas, and he's a phenomenal athlete that can run, that can jump, and oh, by the way, that can repeat an incredibly accurate delivery. That's what, to me, sets him apart, Mike. When you talk about he reminds me of Greg Maddux. I think Greg Maddux as a pitcher could repeat his delivery more than anybody else. And because of it, his command was utterly insane. And Drew Brees fundamentally repeats his motion. And on top of it is a tremendous underrated athlete. I think that's why he's the NFL's all-time yardage leader.
All right, there you go. That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42 every morning, of course. Right at 7:45.
And as far as the second part, Russell, that's an extended conversation.
Right, sound there came from Pete Carroll. Of course, Pete Carroll's show was yesterday. And after each Pete Carroll show, we give away a pair of tickets to a Seahawks home game. So that was yesterday at 9:30. Later in the day, we made a video, one of the highlights of that conversation with the coach. A link is up at 710sports.com/win to watch that video. You become eligible to win the tickets just by watching the video, and then you can gain extra entries by doing things like going to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram pages, downloading our app, etc. And then you got to listen tomorrow at 8:15 because we will pick a random name out of everyone who's entered the contest, and they'll have 5 minutes to call in and claim their prize. So just go to 710sports.com/win. And listen tomorrow at 8:15. Pretty easy. Easy way to win a couple tickets to go see the Seahawks host the Chargers. Brock, I've got maybe the easiest question we've ever asked on this show next. I'm Brock and Salk.